Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel White House edition. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the podcast, and on the other line is Jim Ozarski. He's the Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and on Monday, he was in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., hanging out at the White House, hanging out with President Joe Biden. The Milwaukee Bucks got honored for their 2021 NBA championship. They were dressed to the nines, some impeccable suits, some impeccable tweets from the Bucks, from Jim. We got I think, a Reddit reference. I'll have to talk to you about that. A great Reddit reference, but we'll talk about the basketball in a second, but we got to talk about the scene, Jim. Everybody saw the ring ceremony. Everybody was able to watch that live. This was a little different. This was something that, you know, there was a stream online, but it was a pretty quick ceremony. There was a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, a lot of obviously being in an important place with important people. So give me some of what you took away from your trip to Washington and this really cool moment, I think.
Yeah, it definitely was cool to be a part of. I mean, look, people listen to this, I think, to go a little inside baseball, if you will. And what's funny, JR, is like, so it's not normal for Secret Service to be like, you can't come over here, or this is not how you're supposed to get in, and you should, like, that's a little unnerving. So that's how my day started. Like, we kind of went the wrong way to start.
Oh no.
So
now you're on lists somewhere, Jim.
Yeah, like, so that was strange. And but what's funny about that is it's literally like we didn't go around a certain barricade, because everyone who works there, like the press corps who covers the White House on a daily basis, like, they're just going to work. Like, I would be going to the Pfizer Forum, right? Like, they've got their passes, their coffee, their lunch, you know. So, like, the day started oddly. Like, we're definitely, wow, these guys have a lot of heavy weaponry. Everyone else is like, this is what we do every day, right? So, so we go to Secret Service checkpoint. A little bit of waiting around. We misread the White House press. Like, they sent it to us in Central Time. We thought they were sending us in Eastern Time, so we kind of waited around a little longer than we would have normally. But of course, I've never been that close to the White House. I haven't done a tour. I've never been in it. I realize that's something people do. This was just different, like being off to the side and sort of like in this, I don't know where people go in for tours, for instance, but like we're on the North Lawn, right? And just sort of like right there. And then we go through the Rose Garden, and then we're on the South Lawn and, you know, the South Portico, and that view of the Washington Monument, I don't think most people see. Right? Because it's you're just inverted. Like where the White House is, like, you're always in between like the White House and the Washington Monument. So the scene itself, JR, was very different, very cool. Obviously, if the Bucks win more championships, I'd like to think I could do this again. But I don't know. So overall, very unique, very different. And then I think the team, I'll put that with the team. Obviously, they get to do some things inside that building with people, you know, you and I may not have the privilege to meet in such sort of like a casual setting. But yeah, I think that was it. It was like, this is cool. This is different. And I think the players, coaches, the owners, it was one of those settings, JR, where, again, it was so relaxed, players milling about, owners milling about, like staff, like just sort of very, this is happening type of deal. Like, you could go up and talk to whomever. It was just a different, dare I say, normal sort of like wedding receptionist ish mixer, like kind of just chilling on the South Lawn. Like, it was very cool. It was very cool in that way. And I mean, it's, definitely privileged that the Journal Sentinel allowed me to be there.
Giannis joking that he wants to run for office. And of course he's kidding. And we would never want to expose our dear, dear Giannis to something as awful as a life of politics. But a lot of athletes do that. I'm surprised more don't. You know, the approval rating of someone like Giannis or even Bobby Portis, how easily they would be able to get elected in the state of Wisconsin if they were to run right now. I realize once their playing days are over, this sort of thing wanes to a degree. Not for someone like Giannis, it won't. But, man, if guys wanted to do politics, I feel like they could easily, you know, the knock will always be, well, they aren't, you know, they aren't experienced enough. But, I mean, we're in an era where, like, that doesn't, I don't think, matter as much anymore. It's more like, oh, I'm not experienced, which means I'm not going to steal all your, you know, I'm not a career politician sort of thing. So if Giannis wants to run, all I'm saying is I might vote for him no matter how I feel. I might vote for him.
Yeah, it was funny. They definitely had their moments, right? They were able to get sort of behind the presidential podium and kind of take their pictures. And again, things we would normally do, right? Like, it's just to sort of see them in that setting. And again, JR, like, I think you mentioned running for office, but to a degree, I think there's always a disconnect of fans with even their athletes. Like, I can't relate to that life or what they're doing. And now on one hand, you may say, wow, like, you know, I'll never meet the president to the point where he'll, like, compliment me on my work, right? But to a degree, they're also, like, super happy to just be standing there. Oh, here's this podium. I'm going to go stand there and take a picture and pretend like I'm answering questions and looking presidential. Like, everybody else would do the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it was definitely like a relatable moment in that way. I'm not a TikToker. I'm not a dancer. You watch social media and there's guys like doing TikToks in whatever wings of the Oval Office. Let's be real. There's people who would definitely want to take weird pictures or do funny dances in those settings too. So I think it was... It was definitely a moment, not usual, but on one hand, very relatable, I thought.
You can find all of what Jim experienced at jsonline.com. He wrote about it. But Jim, I think maybe as good as your story was, the biggest moment for you was the tweet of Bobby Portis in the foreground wearing glasses, looking very official, and the White House in the background with the caption Bobby POTUS. I believe that's a nod to the recurring Reddit thread of random puns associated with Bobby Portis's name. My personal favorite, Bobby Portacullis. I don't know why that makes me laugh. I think that's probably died down. That was a big thing last year, but that was perfect. It does not get better than that. If that was a Reddit nod, congratulations, Jim. That was my favorite tweet of the month.
Well, I appreciate that. And look, I am very active on the Bucks subreddit, just like I was with the Packers. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely always a nod to that group of our listeners, readers, because hey, it's a fun, again, it's all about, you know, Bucks fans coming together, and I try to do that. So, yeah, a little nod there, but also, you know, it's, I don't know, it's just kind of fun. Plus, he looked very sharp. The Bucks look very sharp in their dark suits.
Yes, it's true. And if you ever want to get into Bucks Reddit, you just have to know how to feel about Mike Dunleavy and know a few puns about Bobby Portis, and you'll fit right in. So one guy, unfortunately, was not there is Chris Middleton. He is still in the COVID, the health and safety protocols. He's still going to miss a couple more games. And, you know, in general, this Bucks team remains where they were since we last chatted and since we last chatted before that. They're hurt. Brook Lopez, we still have no timetable, no sense of when he's coming back. Obviously, not having him and Chris Middleton has made a difference. We're still, you know, the Bucks have been without Dante DiVincenzo here for quite some time. So that's still the case. And they're struggling, Jim. It's now a 4-6 basketball team headed into Tuesday night showing with the Philadelphia 76ers, who themselves will be missing Joel Embiid now for at least 5 games as he enters the health and safety protocol. But this team, I think we're still in a holding pattern. I think that goes without saying. You know, no one thinks this Bucks team is going to finish below 500 or out of the playoffs or anything like that. But, you know, 10 games is not a small sample anymore in the grand scheme of the NBA season. You know, you go back, there is a lot of movement, but for the most part, after the first 10 games, you can kind of tell which teams are headed to the playoffs and which ones aren't. I think there are enough caveats where you don't have to worry about the Bucks per se, but it's starting to get maybe a little worrisome. You know, they weren't able to, they had a big lead at halftime against the Knicks at home. The Bucks have not played well at home at all. Obviously, again, they're shorthanded, but haven't played well at home. And then the Knicks ended up pulling away and winning kind of convincingly, kind of, Well, they won that game by 15 points after they were down double digits. I think it was like 38-19 or something after the first quarter. So that was troublesome. The Wizards, I mean, it feels like teams are giving it their all against the Bucks, which you would expect. They're the defending champions. And the Bucks don't have enough firepower to punch back, especially offensively. They have not scored above 100 points since they lost to the Timberwolves back on October 27th. That's five straight games below 100 points. That is not what we're used to. Even with a shorthanded Bucks team. So I guess now it's about level of concern. Look, I get it. 10 games is still 10 games. There's still 72 of them left. No one is worried yet that this team is going to fall short of the playoffs or something absurd. But again, like I said last week, we're talking about a team that should be playing for a top four seed. It's no longer, I guess, openly apparent to me that this team will, you know, in fact, secure one of those top four seeds. So what is your sort of meditation on where this team stands right now?
Yeah, well, you started that with mentioning Chris Middleton. And yeah, as we record this, you know, he's still in the health and safety protocol. Assuming it's like Drew Holiday situation last year, JR, where, you know, he's going to miss the 10 days. There's a 2-day ramp up. So look, we're talking about, you know, maybe that Lakers game where he plays on the 17th, because look, they've got a back-to-back, and then you're doing the ramp up again, right? So now we're talking a week in it, you know, a week after that before Christmas. We're looking at Thanksgiving, right? To think that the Bucks, even, and this is not even including Brooke Lopez, because we have no idea what's happening there. With, you would say, okay, they've got everyone but Brooke back. We're talking Thanksgiving, like, saying they're going to play like 30 plus minutes a game, and Bud actually can have a rotation that he can sort of stick with, if you will. So, is it concerning? It's concerning in the sense of there have been a couple games where Mike Budenholzer and Giannis Antetokounmpo said they didn't, you know, they're cliche, get better every day. Learn something every day, build better. Like, it's all cliche, but what's interesting is there those times, JR, where both of those men felt they didn't do that, and they can live with losses if they see these things on a day-to-day basis that they feel, okay, well, in May, June, okay, there's some building blocks here. Well, there's a couple of these games have gone by where they haven't felt that way, whether it be effort, whether it be, you know, paying attention enough or running the right stuff on defense, you know, spacing in the floor on offense, sort of what Bud says is, you know, the fundamental things of the game, that it doesn't matter who it is. Like, it should just be done anyway. So I would say, is that a concern? Yeah, because it's 10 games. These guys are playing, right? They may not play later, but they're playing now. And if they're not doing some of these things or quote unquote getting better. So yeah, JR, still too early to totally panic. I think you mentioned Joel Embiid being out. They're not going to see Jaylen Brown, I don't think, in Boston. He's got a hamstring. So if they can squeak out a win or two on this trip, I think they'll feel fine. If they're 4-10 going into that Lakers game and return to Fiserv, like, that's
panic time.
That's not feeling great. Right. So yeah, I think it's, look, they just need to make some shots. And you're right. You know, like, score 100 points, man. Like, it's the NBA. Like, I know scoring's down for a variety of reasons, but to not do that in what, four of their five losses is that that's not good. You want to start to see some improvement there.
Yeah, and as you look ahead, it's not like the schedule jumps out at you as, oh, they're going to have, you know, they're going to have more teams like Detroit, a team that they were able to blow out pretty handily to end sort of a mini losing skid, although they, you know, they've now lost 5 of 6, but they're not going to have those on the schedule. Now, Boston and Atlanta, two teams that are coming up in the near future, those teams are struggling too. Those teams are in the same spot the Bucks are. Certainly Atlanta, right, came into the year thought of as a team that could contend for the same thing they did last year, reaching the Eastern Conference Finals or beyond. The 76ers team is at the top of the league standings at this point, but again, they're going to be shorthanded without Joel Embiid. So the schedule maybe looks a little tougher than it is with the Knicks and the Lakers in there. You know, how good are the Lakers? How good are the Celtics? How good are the Hawks right now? So it's a little misleading in that regard. But like you said, if they just keep, I mean, these are all road games, these next four battles, if they just keep struggling, it's going to, the hole is going to get pretty big in a hurry. I'm interested, the COVID-19 protocols are obviously top of mind right now in Wisconsin sports because of Aaron Rodgers. In the NFL, you don't need to wait those 10 days. You simply have to, if you are vaccinated, you simply have to test negative for the virus and back-to-back days, 24 hours apart between tests. In the NFL, though, if you are unvaccinated, like Aaron Rodgers, we know this now, you must wait those 10 days once you have tested positive, regardless of your status, regardless of whether you're positive or negative. In the NBA, it's 10 days no matter what. You test positive, it doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, you have to wait out those 10 days, which is A, kind of costly. If you get a guy who's vaccinated and tests positive and feels fine, it's kind of an unfortunate circumstance what it is. But B, the interesting thing to me is it's sort of, in a way, it shields NBA players from the same scrutiny that Aaron Rodgers is under. We knew in the NFL that Aaron Rodgers was unvaccinated because he was immediately ruled out for 10 days. That doesn't happen if you're vaccinated. We don't know that with NBA players. So we don't know Chris Middleton's status. We don't know, therefore, how serious it might be, or can't even speculate on how serious it might be. Certainly we saw with Drew Holiday last year before the vaccine was available, you know, he's talked about the symptoms he experienced. And, you know, there was a time where we weren't sure he was coming back. Like, you know, we all thought he was going to, but it's not like you had evidence. And that's, I guess, the concern here too. Like, you don't, and Brook Lopez, totally different situation because of the back, but it's the same thing. It's the uncertainty here. You know, are these guys, and throw Dante in there. We still don't, is he coming back by New Year's? Is he coming back by Thanksgiving? Is he coming back, you know, before the All-Star break? Like, we just have no timetables anymore in the NBA for any of these guys. And some of that is COVID and some of that is just the secrecy of it. But like, there's a whole lot of I don't know. Like, this might be your Bucks team going forward. Or then again, you know, they might all be back by the Lakers game and then everything is fine. Like, we simply have no idea. That's got to be frustrating, Jim.
Yeah, I think so for them. You know, Middleton, at least, they feel there's probably light at the end of the tunnel, you know, which could be thrown if he tests positive at the end of the week. Or at the end of the week, if he's still not feeling great in terms of, you know, potential symptoms. And you're right. The only way that being vaccinated as a player in the league has a benefit is if you're a close contact to a COVID-19 positive case. You know, you're allowed to still be around the team and practice, and you can come back like much, much quicker than if you were an unvaccinated close contact. But yeah, to the degree of Brook Lopez and Dante DiVincenzo, it's kind of funny, Jay, because people are getting so like upset about this. Like, oh, no one knows. It's like, well, guess what? In pro sports, there's no information if those who know the information don't share it. So there are only two parties here. It's the player and the team. And both parties have thus far agreed. They are not discussing what has happened to Brook Lopez. They are not discussing timelines with anyone. And so, look, Brook Lopez is traveling, but he's not doing any workouts, JR. He's a very, very large man who has now missed double-digit games. What is his ramp-up going to be now whenever it is he decides to return? So I'm saying it's going to, like, everyone but Lopez, maybe around Thanksgiving, if people stay healthy, for him, who knows, right? Like, he'd have to start practicing almost – or start working out, doing on-court stuff this week as we record this to maybe get to that point as well. Maybe not. I don't know. But, I mean, if he's missed this much time with his back, like, you would think they're going to be really mindful of what he's doing. DiVincenzo, again, we see him, you know, I tweeted something out from Washington. He's on the court moving around. But then we watch him walking around the White House. And granted, those are dress shoes and not, like, custom-made, you know, Kevin Durant's. But, like, he didn't really look like a dude who's ready to be like jump on the court in the next month. You know what I mean? So it's just, yeah, like those guys, I think it's just going to take a while. And to your point, you know, whatever their situation is, I mean, they're trying to be careful. Drew Holiday's like, I'm sure Chris has no idea where he got it from. That's still going to loom over, you know, these seasons as long as these protocols are in place.
All right, Jim. Well, that's probably all, unless there's more you want to talk about on the court before we get to our features.
No, I think that's it, man. We'll see. There's going to be a bunch of games between this podcast and our next one. So we'll see where they move from here.
All right, without further ado, let's move on to One Quick Buck.
Desmond Mason with authority. Man.
Monte Ellis puts it up at the buzzer and got it.
No way.
Monte Ellis wins the game and then heads to the locker room.
You got to be kidding me. Charlie Villanueva. He has got the mojo going.
To the bell, man. In your face, Brad Lohas.
The Milwaukee Bucks select Larry Sanders from Virginia Commonwealth University. Larry is not here.
One Quick Buck.
I should also point out, remember, that if you have a One Quick Buck you want to recommend, I'm basically randomly jumping around through Bucks history. Shout out to Dean Stockwell, RIP. We lost the actor Dean Stockwell from Quantum Leap. We lost him on Tuesday morning. It was revealed that he had passed away. So I'm just jumping through time, through different dimensions to find these players, random Bucks players, not all stars, not superstars, but guys who were sort of maybe a little forgotten, but certainly still kind of remembered in Bucks history. So Jim, today we are gonna pull a guy from that little intro you just heard about One Quick Buck. One of the names mentioned there. It's a little bit more current than some of the guys we've talked about in recent podcasts. Today we're gonna talk about Charlie Villanueva. Give me everything you know about Charlie Villanueva.
Charlie Villanueva, Georgetown?
No,
UConn. UConn. He won a national title, UConn, right? Yeah, didn't he win a national title at UConn?
He also initially committed to Illinois, since you're an Illinois guy, I should point that out. But he flipped when Bill Self went to Kansas. He did not follow Bill Self. He instead went to UConn. Played there for 2 years, freshman and sophomore season, before going pro. Let me read you something. This is going to sound a little random, but let me see if this jogs your memory. I'm reading this quote. In the locker room, snuck to post my twit. We're playing the Celtics, tie ball game at the half. Coach wants more toughness. I got to step up.
Oh, that's right. Hey, man, social media was new back then.
It was new. At halftime of a game in 2009, Charlie Villanueva posted a tweet from the locker room. He, by the way, refers to them as twits, T-W-I-T-T. That was his preferred nomenclature for a little while there. But he posted a tweet during halftime. He scored 19 points. Bucks won that game. They were playing the Celtics, like Charlie said. And Scott Skiles told him, knock it off. You are not allowed to tweet during games anymore, even at halftime. They ended up instituting a social media policy in the NBA. Players couldn't tweet. I think this is still the case, 45 minutes before or after a game. So obviously during a game, that's out of bounds. So that was just a very funny moment. Kind of harmless, but did definitely play into the Twitter ban across the league and across multiple pro sports leagues. But Charlie Alexander Villanueva Mejia, he is the son of immigrants from the Dominican Republic. He speaks fluent Spanish. He speaks it with his family. He's represented the Dominican Republic national team, but he was drafted 7th overall by the Toronto Raptors in 2005. And 1 year later, he is a Milwaukee Buck. He played there for 3 years. He was traded. Any idea? He was a big man, a power forward, traded for a point guard. Any idea who went the other way to Toronto in the trade that brought Charlie Villanueva to town?
TJ Ford.
Indeed, TJ Ford, himself a former top draft pick. So they traded a small for a big. And he was here for 3 years. Like I said, he averaged 13.5 points over 3 years with the team. That was the best he did with any team. He was with Detroit for a while, a couple teams. He was a six to seven rebound a game guy. He had a really good 2008-09 season. A lot of it off the bench, but he averaged 16.2 points per game, 6.7 rebounds. Excuse me. And he was really quite good. He'd been an all-rookie team player with the Raptors. He'd actually scored 48 points in a game against the Bucks his rookie year. And the Bucks clearly noticed that, because that was part of they mentioned that as part of the process when they traded for TJ Ford. The whole idea was to pair him with Andrew Bogut, you know, their young other big man. Mo Williams became the starting point guard. And it didn't work. It's just that the Bucks, you know, they just weren't very good. At the end of 2009, they had he was a restricted free agent. They kind of just let him go. They didn't even sign him to an offer sheet. They didn't have a lot of flexibility. They're hoping Egon Leon would sort of fill that role and sent Charlie to the bench. That obviously did not work. But the luxury tax plateau was dropping. There was a lot going on, and this is why for me the 2009-2010 Bucks team is still so crazy. That's the Fear the Deer team. This is after Villanueva had left, because they lose Villanueva, Richard Jefferson, Ramon Sessions. They lose all those guys. Michael Redd re-injures his ACL. You know, Andrew Bogut gets hurt at the end of the year. And somehow that team still is the sixth seed and ends up playing the Hawks. Very, very tough. Sends that series to seven games. But that last year with Charlie, they were 34 and 48. You know, they weren't very good. And then they ended up turning it around somehow the following year. But Villanueva signed a five-year, $50 million deal with Detroit. Bucks were never going to match that. But he's a guy that, you know, he had some good years. A lot of people know him for his alopecia. Alopecia universalis, I believe, is the proper terminology. He's prevents the growth of hair pretty much anywhere. You know, no eyebrows, perfectly bald guy. But not a painful or physically painful, life-threatening thing. He's done a lot sort of to raise awareness for that particular, I don't know if illness is even the right term, but that particular genetic setup, he's done a lot with that as well. So that is Charlie Villanueva. Any other thoughts?
No. My wife actually, she's in radio in Milwaukee and actually did an appearance alongside Charlie Villanueva once. And, he seemed to be a very nice man. She has very fond things to say about her interaction with Charlie Villanueva. So I guess, you know,
yeah. Yeah, it seems like he was a good dude.
6 degrees of Charlie Villanueva. I am part of it.
It's true. I'm trying to remember. I don't think he won a national title, to get back to that original thing, because Connecticut won.
I can't remember when they won those.
Yeah. No, that was like, oh, well, did they win in 2004? That might be a Charlie Villanueva championship team right there. Because he was only there for 2 years. So that means he would have just missed, I think, being there in 2004 when they won the national title. Yeah, he is not on that team. That's Emeka Okafor, Ben Gotcha. Gordon. I am wrong. My math is always off when we try to, like, calculate. Okay, so if you were in the league in 2005, you were in college in 2004. Yeah, no, he's definitely on that team. Josh Boone is on that team. Hilton Armstrong, Marcus Williams, all those guys played in the NBA. Yeah, that's a very good team. Rashad Anderson, Denham Brown. I remember those guys. So you were correct in the first place, 2003-04 UConn National Championship team. Also, in 2017, he tweeted that his toilet got stolen, among other things, out of his house in Dallas. Who steals a toilet? Is there a toilet? Black
Charlie market? V on the Twits is... he's something.
He is something. Yeah, he's a great... He's always was a great Twitter follow. All right, so let's move now to the to everyone's favorite segment, at least my favorite segment, and that's what's important. It's what's making Jim mad.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
I am very disappointed.
I'm upset.
Louder!
I'm upset.
Say it louder!
I'm upset.
That's my secret, Cat. I'm always angry.
What's making Jim mad?
Jim, you're on the road. You're in Philadelphia, so you are surrounded by people who are perpetually angry. At least that is the reputation. So, what is making you angry today?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think people can. First of all, I think people can always relate to what makes me angry. But JR, look, I don't understand this in the rideshare world because, you know, look, a lot of cities, I have to ride share to and from stadiums, hotels, airports. It is the, we'll pick you up after we complete this trip. And that just, there's nothing that drives me more crazy than the picking you up while completing a nearby trip. Because I'm generally, like, when I'm calling for a ride share, like, I'm not the person who's doing that, you know, 25 minutes. Before I need to be at a place, right? Like, when I hit the button, I need you to come get me. Not completing nearby trip, which could be an undetermined amount of time. All of a sudden it's do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, now we'll be there in 15 minutes. Like, that's all. Don't hit, I understand. It's a job, you're trying to get that, trying to get money. I can respect that. I tip well, but it's just, it's one of those things where don't hit the button until the other person's out of the car, right? Because it's just, I've had some horror stories, man. I'm watching the little map, you know, the guy's like doing a spin, the car's doing that circle thing. come get me. Oh, that's like, that just drives me insane.
This sounds similar to like when you walk into a restaurant and you say, well, it should be 5 to 10 minutes, but it's contingent on somebody getting up, you know, like somebody leaving the table, which again, you understand, but it is still contingent on people finishing their meal and leaving the restaurant before that table's available. So it might be 5 to 10 minutes, could be 30. But that's interesting. I would say that my experience with rideshare, granted, I don't do it nearly as much as you do, is I think Milwaukee just might be the right size city where you have enough drivers, but not necessarily people using the service. I never wait for more than 5 to 10 minutes. I mean, I'm sure it happens. Peak times, I'm sure it's difficult, but like, I love rideshare in Milwaukee if I ever do it, because it is so fast for me. But I'm guessing some cities are worse than others. I also wonder, Jim, you mentioned you tip well. I wonder if there's a setting where they can figure out, okay, this guy tips well, then I definitely need to take this one.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if that all factors into the rating. I don't know. But it's just one of those things where it's like, oh, you know, come on. I need this ride because I got to get to the airport. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's just... Yeah, I think that just the one of the pitfalls of this new system that everybody has developed is that you're still relying on, you know, strangers to finish whatever it is they're doing before they get to you. And yeah, it's I tell you what, Jim, I am speaking of getting to the airport. My family is going to a wedding in San Francisco over Christmas. We're actually flying out on Christmas to my sister-in-law's getting married, and my flight back on the 30th got moved to 5:30 in the morning at the San Francisco airport. We are staying a good hour away from the San Francisco airport at you know, by where the rest of the family is. 5:30 in the morning, have to get to San Francisco airport on a weekday. I mean, it's between holidays, but it's a weekday. And I don't know how we're going to do it. I've got 2 young kids, 7 and 9. I honestly, like, I think about that day so much. It is so, you know, I'm sure you're a much better traveler than I am. I don't do it as much, so I get very stressed out about the various logistics involved in travel. And I'm just, we'll have a rental car, so rideshare isn't really a part of the equation, but I'm just trying to imagine, like, how do we, like, 5:30 is like that perfect storm time where you can't really just stay awake, but I guess you maybe should. Oh, man, it's going to be an absolute nightmare. I'm thinking about that. So that's not what's making me angry, but that is definitely what's giving me stress this week. It is a 5:30 flight home from San Francisco Airport. Not looking forward to that, Jim. I'm very concerned.
Yeah, well, look, you've got a month to plan it out.
To stress about it is what you mean.
Yeah.
To stress about it. Because yeah, Nothing's going to change. We're going to drive to the airport at 3 a.m. or whatever it is. Oh, boy. It's going to be tough. Tough. But all right. That is what's making Jim mad this week. Hope you enjoyed this edition of the Point Forward Podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We will be back next week, hopefully with more interesting, you know, interesting results. The Bucks are just kind of right now. One thing you can say is Giannis is still playing well. Giannis is healthy, so I guess you got to figure that things are going to turn here in the near future. They will be against Philadelphia on Tuesday night, as we mentioned. I'm trying to remember the order. I know Celtics come after that, right? And
Philadelphia, New York, Boston, New Atlanta, York. Home on the 17th.
Yeah, that'll be a big game for the Los Angeles Lakers. Debut of those new jerseys we talked about last week. That'll be that game on the 17th against the Lakers. Maybe Chris Middleton will be back for that game as well. Any last thoughts, Jim, before I let you go?
No, that's it. Again, head over to jsonline.com/deals. Dollar. You can read up on all of this stuff. And then, of course, sign up for the newsletter. Then that's also free. Get all of these Bucks links directly to your inbox.
It's true. Also, is it deals? It is deal. A deal works, but deals as well. Yes, you could get $1 for 6 months. That's awesome. That sale ends soon, but $1 for 6 months, not bad. Digital access to the Journal Sentinel. That's going to get you through the end of the Packers season, going to get you through the bulk of the Bucks season. College basketball begins Tuesday night. Badgers, Marquette, everything. We've got lots of people out in the field. Badger football has things have turned around for them. We've got all kinds of stuff. So that's what you want. jsonline.com/deal. And check us out. Thanks for tuning in to the Point Forward Podcast. We will chat with you again next week. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward Podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.